At the beginning of every year, come January, our feeds are filled with articles and experts predicting what the future will hold in marketing and social media. At the beginning of 2017, we saw predictions around the rise of augmented reality, AI, messenger apps, bots, the continued rise of video marketing, stories within each platform, speculation around Snapchat, live video, and lots more. Well, we're midway through 2017 and I'm still not half robot, as far as I can tell, and video marketing really has exploded over the last few months. But what does the rest of 2017 and beyond hold for marketers and for the industry? I'm Brian Peters, and this is The Science of Social Media, a podcast by Buffer, your weekly sandbox for social media stories, insights, experimentation, and inspiration. This week, we sit down with Noah Kagan, Chief Sumo at Sumo.com and AppSumo.com, employee number 30 at Facebook and number 4 at Mint. Both stories I highly recommend checking out on his website, okdork.com. These are the five most exciting social media and marketing trends that all marketers should keep an eye on going forward. Let's get started.
So number one is a recent example. I sent an email out on my personal mailing list, okdork.com, and I was getting a 30% open rate. I have about 150,000 subscribers to my blog about marketing. And recently I'm getting a 20% open rate. So it doesn't 10% doesn't sound like a lot, but that's over 15,000 people are not reading my emails anymore. And it just happened randomly. It's literally like Google decided, hey, we're just going to mess with this guy. And you have to also think about, like, Google and Facebook, they're incentivized to not let you talk to your customers. Think about it. How do they make money? Advertising. What's advertising? It's showing people things. They want to hold your customers hostage. And so what I've started changing my attitude about is that I do think email is the number one channel that everyone needs to be growing. But I think one of the futures of marketing is that you need to have multiple mediums that you can talk to your customers in. And so, well, no, what does that mean? So I do think it's healthy. Like, do you have browser notifications? I do think it's healthy. Do you have their phone numbers? I do think it's healthy if you have their addresses. I do think it's healthy if you have, like, Facebook bots that you can message them in. And so the point there is that you need to hedge your communication channels, your communication mediums, to be able to contact your customers and not be at the mercy of these other businesses.
You might be thinking, sweet, let's get started. I was too. So I asked Noah what he would bet on moving forward if he had to choose three mediums.
I would personally think it's email and then browser notifications. So you want to diversify from your owner. So email is going to be mostly Gmail. Then browser notifications is going to be Google. And then text messaging is actually going to be one of the best direct communication channels depending on your business.
There you have it. In order, email, browser notifications, and finally, text messaging or SMS. Let's dive into the number two trend to watch out for this year.
Number two, and this is where it's hard, and it's honestly, I'm scared because I don't want to get outdated, and I think that's going to help me, is that right now marketing, think about the evolution of it, where it used to be you put up a TV commercial and that would work. And then they were like, hey, what if you put up ads on internet? Those would work. And then those ads became like performance-based ads. And now the ads have, like, you know, the amount of stuff that's going on in the back end is just unbelievable. And so the future of the marketing for me is that you can actually do one-to-one marketing. It's soon becoming the reality, if not already there. And so I think the thing for people thinking out there is, how can you be more tailored for very specific segments, if not like one-to-one marketing, in your communication and in your overall marketing plan? Like, how can you be so customized that every single customer who's the right customer can feel like you're talking just to them?
And technology, even compared to 3 to 5 years ago, has made leaps and bounds in terms of data available and what we can learn about our customers. Take Facebook ads, for example. It seems like every day they're releasing a new way to target customers based on interests, likes, hobbies, browser activity, device type, location, and behavior. But Facebook ads and similar strategies are only just the beginning in what will be a revolution in one-to-one communication.
I think Facebook, and we can talk about that in the future in another one, is that Facebook they bring the customers to your restaurant, but imagine bringing someone to your restaurant and each person gets their own customized dish that they're in love with. And that is your marketing experience. So Facebook can show you them to your door, but then each customer that comes in, you're like, oh, you're in India. Oh, you're in Ireland. Oh, you have this kind of problem. Oh, you're this type of person. And then you're tailoring it just to that exact type of customer. And that is, you know, where the technology is going. Like, if you look at Marketo and Pardot and HubSpot, And then you integrate that with something like Clearbit, where you can start learning about the people. Like, you can start tailoring people down to a very individual basis. And I think the companies that can get to that sooner are going to have a significant advantage in their marketing.
The number three trend for marketers to keep an eye on.
So this is one where people are going to zone out, because I've been zoning out about it, but I'm starting to see the light. And so I'm starting to preach the gospel. Number three is bots. And so only recently, from a marketing capacity and a business capacity, have I started understanding bots. Because what is a bot exactly? Bot is something that someone programmed an algorithm so that a bot can respond to general questions. So, hey, what time are you open? The bot can say, oh, we're open 4 to 5, which is the most kind of, let's say, basic example. But from a more marketing approach and the future of it, it's insanely powerful when the bot can actually do your sales for you and your support for you and your marketing for you on an individual basis. And they could actually start programming like, oh, we get these questions. Let's keep putting it back in the system and back in the system and back in the system. And the people who can actually start developing using different software and developing and building out their bots to communicate with their customers or potential customers, they're going to be a significant advantage. Here's an example. Let's say you have 10,000 customers. So at Sumo.com, we have over 10,000 customers. Buffer has, you know, hundreds of thousands of customers. So at Sumo, we have a great support team. I think there's around 10 people who talk. But what if we could have a bot that replaces those people, and then those people could do even more important things in support? And the bot can answer a lot of the general questions, and then maybe setting up customers, those people move to just helping people set up the products. And you're like, oh, wow, that's really interesting, because a lot of the stuff that people ask is probably pretty common. And so you just start realizing, like, there's this future where the bots can actually replace some of the people, and the people can do higher value things for your business.
As a marketer, the thought of bots can be a bit intimidating on both the job and implementation side. But there are tons of positives that come with automation. Eventually, sure, bots will be able to do a variety of tasks that humans currently do, like write blog posts, create graphics, deliver tailored content to users, send emails, schedule social media posts, and respond to user questions. But just like the computer automated handwriting and Netflix automated the movie industry, we will adapt and evolve into the next stage of technology and marketing, just like we've done throughout history. So have no fear. For now, you'll be well ahead of the game by experimenting with basic bot functions like communicating with website visitors, implementing a Facebook Messenger or Slack bot, or conducting research, just to help you get a feel for what they can do. And with that, let's move on to our number four trend.
We are on number four, Quattro or Arba, as we say in Hebrew. And so the part of the future in marketing trends, I think there's still a lot of networks left to exploit. So if you look at a lot of the hypergrowth that's happened in the crazy billions or hundreds of billions of dollars of companies, they came through exploitation of marketing channels that were untapped. So what does this mean? No, I don't understand what you're talking about. It means that let's look at them. So Facebook spammed email addresses, and then they got really big. And then now that channel is kind of done. And then Airbnb spammed Craigslist, and now that channel is kind of done. PayPal spammed eBay. Now that channel is kind of done. And so I do think that there's still a lot of like, okay, where are there large networks of people that, you know, ideally it's not spam. Like, I don't think people would think of Facebook or Airbnb as spam companies, but they did exploit channels to hyper growth their company. And so I think there's a lot of channels. If you look at Instagram, there's still some stuff there. Reddit, there's still some stuff there. And really, people should just think about, where are there large networks of my customers that I can potentially tap? And I think that's where, if people can start thinking about it, they'll start being like, oh, wow, if I actually do this, there's an opportunity for hyper growth in those, in new channels. I don't think all of those have been tapped out. Just look at where large groups of people are aggregating and work backwards from, all right, well, there's a lot of people on meetup.com, or there's a lot of like Reddits for specific geographies, like Reddit San Jose, Reddit Austin. What are ways that I can go and find people that are my ideal customers and in large quantities? So I still think there's a lot of large networks out there like that.
One specific example of this in recent history is the tactical use of Quora as a marketing channel for businesses. Once marketers discovered that people were using Quora to ask specific questions about products or challenges they were having, they quickly began providing answers. And when those answers were good ones, it meant thousands of views every month to that answer and eventually to their business online. Today, Quora has more than 400,000 available topics and 100 million unique monthly visitors, giving marketers a unique opportunity to tap into a massive resource. There are untapped networks out there. It's just a matter of finding them, or maybe they're right in front of us.
So with Instagram, for instance, you have to buy Facebook ads to like get there, right? You have to go spend like $2 to get some impression from some random person. And, you know, half of it's probably fake, but there's still, let's say, 100,000 people with a large followings on Instagram that you can directly reach out to through a DM, and you could actually get them to promote. Most of these people don't make any money. Like, it's shocking. I was talking to a company, they spend $250 a month sponsoring this girl. She's in fitness. She's got, I don't know, 250,000 followers, and they give her $250 a month, and she posts about their product 4 times a week. But that amount of money is actually good for it. And it's going to get more expensive as more people are doing this. I think YouTube's already kind of maximized on that. Like, you know, you have all these people giving physical products and sponsorships. But I think Instagram is still a large opportunity. Snapchat might be. And so that's kind of the one way I'm looking at that.
Last but certainly not least, marketing trend number 5.
All right, number 5. So Buffer, obviously you guys are known for blogging. And you also, you know, sell your own blogging tools. I do think what I don't know if you've noticed this, Brian, but I've noticed that the quality of content is just, the bar has been raised, where everyone now has a funny title. Everyone now has a bunch of graphs. Everyone now has like really cool images and memes and GIFs. Like, how do I stand out? And so from a content marketing perspective, the only way you can differentiate is that you have to put in higher quality stuff. So what is that? There's basically 3 things that you can do around that. Number 1, video, because you can't just go record a great video in a 30-minute conversation. Like, you can't go on Fiverr and have someone make a great marketing video or a great product video for you like really quickly. It takes time. Same thing with the podcast. The podcast, you have to go and either put it together like NPR, which takes 10,000 hours for an episode, or you have to go find guests that are very unique, and it takes a lot of time. So maybe the underlying formula is time. And the third part, the third opportunity, like let's say blogging, is that, you know, with sumo.com, we're putting out stories, they're called growth studies, and they're literally 60 pages, and they're so good we could sell them as books. And that, maybe we should, because that's a great idea. But no joke, like one article now for us takes 2 weeks just to write. I'm not even talking promotion. I'm only talking, it's full time, one person, 2 weeks for an article. And that is what I believe is going to be part of the future, where if you really want to differentiate, you're going to have to put in the work.
Now, length doesn't always mean quality, but as Noah alluded to, actual time and effort spent on the project often does. For each piece of content you create, it's important to drill down into every element and examine it from a viral point of view. Can the headline be better? Can we make a video to accompany this content? Do we have unique images, research, data, or even a funny GIF to add? All of that really does make a big difference in the success of your content. It's all in the effort.
Well, that's the problem, is that everyone read some blog post on, you know, Growth Hackers or Hacker News or on Buffer's blog that the ideal blog length is 2,500 words and you have to tweet it at this time. And I don't think 2 weeks means that you have to make it 60 pages like we do. It could be one page, but that one page is just unbelievable. And that's the part I'm trying to differentiate on, where I think everyone now, you can go pay $30 or $100 on Fiverr or wherever you want to go, you know, Uplance, Freelance, wherever, and get a decent article that looks like everything else. And that's why no one's paying attention to it, because it looks like everything else. So I'm just talking about the differentiation is because you're putting in a lot more quality to what you're outputting.
So how are you feeling about the marketing trends moving forward in 2017? Excited? I hope so. Before you go, we'd love to share a few more tidbits to keep learning and experimenting as you go on and rock social media this week.
Go check out our blog at sumo.com, sumo.com/stories, and you could see some of the levels of content that we're putting out. We're putting out one, by the time this is out, about Tony Robbins and his marketing strategy, and it's 60 pages, and you're going to read through it because you're going to like it. It's that good. But that's number one. Number two, a lot of the things I'm talking about are where the future is going. So don't sweat. You're like, oh, I don't know where to go. What I would say is the easiest one is, if you're doing content marketing, I want you to, whatever article you're doing, I want you to put in an extra day of work in it. Meaning that put in an extra day of editing, put in an extra day of graphics, maybe put an extra day with making a video about it. And that will actually help differentiate you versus like you probably spend like, you know, half an hour doing it and then you put half an hour like editing it or whatever that is. One more, I'll do another bonus one because this is one that I've started doing and it's awesome. It's a really great tip. Everyone wants another one that they can just do today. I call it content multiplication. And so with your marketing or with your business, you're already, a lot of times we're like, well, let's come up with a new thing and a new thing and a new thing. And so what I've been trying to do is come up with less things, but then multiply their effectiveness. So what I do now is I'll do a podcast interview like this, or I'll do a podcast interview with someone else. And then I take the audio and I go make a video about it. And I take the video and I make a blog post about it. And I take that blog post and I put it on Quora, LinkedIn, and all the other channels. Then I take that and then I put it on my social channels. And so instead of trying to come up with new content and new ideas all the time, I take one idea that's popular or that seems interesting, and then I try to expand its effectiveness instead of always coming up with new things. So for everyone out there, take your most popular blog post. You know, you can refresh it if you want. I'm sure that's another episode for another time. But take your most popular blog post and go multiply. Go make a video of it. Go make a podcast of it. Go do interviews about it, and then put it on all the different channels that you can do.
Thanks for joining us this week on The Science of Social Media, and a huge shout out to our special guest and friend, Noah Kagan. And don't forget to join us next Monday for more social media stories, insights, experimentation, and inspiration. I'm Brian Peters, and this is the Buffer Podcast.